Last week, a citizen-driven data collection group called Berkshire County Court Watch issued a preliminary report on criminal justice trends. As observed by volunteers over around 300 hearings at the Southern Berkshires District Court in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Now, District Attorney Andrea Harrington is sharing her perspective on the findings, including a sharp uptick in pretrial dangerousness hearings. Harrington, who made transparency a key part of her 2018 campaign, spoke with WAMC about what discrepancies she says she found in the Court Watch report and the system she inherited back in January.
Well, I am very happy that we have citizens that are taking this level of interest in what's happening in the courts. And I think that it's a great tool to educate people about the criminal justice system and the roles of the different actors in the court system. So I'm very excited about that. As far as, you know, collecting data, that has been the biggest challenge that my office has faced since I was sworn in. And there was no strong, comprehensive data collection system that was in place when I got here. And we're working really hard with a variety of different potential partners to improve our data collection so that we can be transparent and provide the kind of information to the community to demonstrate that, you know, that basically my office is doing what it is that I said that we would do. As far as, you know, if the data collected by CourtWatch matches our data, we think that there are some inconsistencies between our data and what the CourtWatch data demonstrated. But I will say that we definitely do seek to, you know, find non-punitive approaches to people who are struggling with substance use disorder, people that have mental health issues, people that are, you know, maybe committing crimes that are more based on crimes of poverty. And I think that was the overall message from the CourtWatch data.
So I'm interested in the discrepancies that you're seeing. With the data that you do have available, what are the differences between what CourtWatch has reported and what you have internally documented?
All I can really tell you about that is that the initial response that I received from people here internally in my office is that they have some questions about what the data is that was relayed by CourtWatch.
One of the observations CourtWatch made was a sharp uptick in pretrial dangerousness holdings. They said about 80%, an 80% increase over the last year or so. Can you speak to that? I know that's a concern that some advocates of cash bail had for, you know, potential putting a lot of power in your office to detain people with no means of exiting.
Yeah, so the report that my office has, that there's been an increase in our request that people be held as a danger pretrial, that there's been an increase there. I would say that those reports are absolutely accurate. My commitment and what I campaigned on and what is a promise that I have fulfilled is that we are not going to hold people pretrial because they're poor. And that is why my office very, very, very rarely asks for cash bail. And that was demonstrated by the CourtWatch data and is consistent with the internal data that we have here from my office. But we are going to seek for people to be held who are dangerous, people who are dangerous to individuals in the community, people who are dangerous to public safety. I promise that we would be aggressive in making that distinction and in making those requests. And that's a campaign promise that I made, and it's a campaign promise that we are absolutely fulfilling.
Can you speak to the idea that the number of holdings may exceed the number of cash bails previously distributed? Like, are more people being held before trial with this dangerousness hearing than were previously held with cash bail holdings?
Well, I don't have the data that would demonstrate that. The prior administration did not collect comprehensive or necessarily accurate data. But what I will say is that the majority of the cases where we're asking people to be detained pretrial are domestic violence situations. And we recognize that holding people pretrial is it's a serious request. And, you know, we recognize that, that being held pretrial, like, absolutely has a big impact on somebody's life. We are very targeted in the requests that we make in ensuring that people who are actually dangerous are being held. My office has made a huge commitment to addressing domestic violence, which I think is a change in how law enforcement and certainly how the district attorney's office, what we prioritize. And this, you know, requesting people to be held pretrial is a part of that commitment. And, you know, we're asking law enforcement to provide us with the information that we need pretrial in order to make the request. The way the 58A statute works is we only get one shot to ask a court to hold somebody pretrial. So we've asked our local law enforcement to make sure that they provide us with all of the details and the information we need that could demonstrate that somebody is dangerous. I would say that law enforcement is working with us on that. And we are in a process of pulling all of the police reports from all of the cases in which we've requested people be held and analyzing them and reviewing them to make sure that our requests are consistent with our values and with our goal of using incarceration in a targeted way towards people that are too dangerous to be in the community.
So when we spoke 6 months into your tenure, you brought up this issue of, you know, struggling to get the technological resources in order to create the kind of documentation and data you want to share with the public. Now, a little over a year into your time in office, the same problem seems to persist. When do you think people will get a chance to look inside the DA office's information?
Well, a correction, I have not been in office over a year. It's just under a year. I don't have a timeline for when we will have data available to the public. What I will say is that this is a statewide and a nationwide challenge. Offices all over the state and all over the country are struggling with how do we collect and report on our data. And we've been very aggressive in looking for we need outside resources to help us with this issue, and we've been very aggressive in taking advantage of whatever resources are available. So it's an ongoing project. I cannot put a timeline on it. But something that I also want to correct about district court that was in your last report is that very serious cases are handled in district court. There's a lot of serious violent cases in district court. It's not all just really lower level misdemeanors. There are felony cases in district court. There's assault and battery with dangerous weapon. There's, those are the most, they're serious cases. And when we ask for people to be held as a danger, it's because they've done something that is very concerning. And for example, you know, we talked last week about the death of Charlie Cook. And you look at the numbers of our dangerousness hearings, well, one of those people that we asked to be held is Michael Cook, Ms. Cook's husband, who all those cases start in district court, even cases that are ultimately arraigned or indicted and sent to superior court.